Welcome to the Hardware Asylum Podcast. In this episode, we talk about the RTX 4090 PowerGate fiasco and the unlaunch of the RTX 4080. I'm your host, Dennis Garcia, and with me today, I have Darren McCain.
Dennis, I got to tell you, I know we've talked about this in a previous podcast, but I think it's time for me to upgrade a video card.
It's always time to upgrade a video card.
Well, no, that's not necessarily true, Dennis. And we've talked about this a lot. And no, this isn't our general rule, but I still believe it's true that you should be able to skip a generation with some exceptions, right?
You know, if you look at the modern games that come out, the processor requirements for the minimum system requirements is usually like six generations old. And if you want to get the latest and greatest and have the best performance, you want to be on the cusp of what is currently being released. But when it comes down to video cards, it usually is like the TikTok, hey, we can buy one, we can skip one. And then we buy one, we skip one. And we're generally okay.
So I don't know that that's really all there is to it, because I think that what I find is that if you look at the minimum requirements, like you were just talking about, you're okay to skip a generation, sometimes even two. But I think what interests me is when they introduce a new technology like DLSS, for example, right?
Yes.
Is usually a good opportunity to buy in. Not always, but usually. Now, the exception, of course, is if you have just a bad video card. And a lot of folks out there went cheap because they could, just couldn't afford better, or they couldn't because of mining, right?
Oh, yeah. We have like a lot of 2050s and 3050s.
Oh, yeah.
The low-end stuff.
So that, I think, is the exception. I don't want to call that out before we go too far. If you bought a 50 or maybe even a 60, so in this case, we're talking about like a 2060 or a 3060, then you maybe want to jump up a little sooner if your budget allows. But in general, I tend to look at bang for your buck. And we've talked about this not very recently. So let me recap. I don't need to have the top video card, the 3090 Ti, for example.
No.
I don't know that anybody does unless you're doing competitive benchmarking or flexing, or you just have that kind of wallet at your disposal.
I think it's wallet and flexing.
Right. Now, granted, would I want a 3090 Ti or even two of them? Well, hell yeah. But your money is well spent somewhere else. In this case, upgrading to maybe a newer chipset and a newer processor is better. And you can save that money by buying into a little bit lower video card. And I put my money where my mouth is, Dennis.
Yeah.
As you know, I'm running a 2070 Super.
Yeah, it's MSI brand, right?
It is. And I'm a huge fan of MSI. And I like their cards because I feel like they're right in the center of the price point and dependability.
Yeah. Oh, and if anyone wants to see Darren's video card and his current build, I'll put a link to the video of us building that machine down in the show notes.
A great project. And we're probably about due because, as you know, 2070, then 30X, and now 40X means,
two generations.
Two generations. So let me talk about why I bought a 2070. And before that, I had a 1070. Eventually two 1070s, which is my philosophy on video cards in a nutshell. So again, you don't need the top one, but you want to get the card that sits in that sweet spot of price and performance.
And that's either in the NVIDIA camp, that's the 60s or the 70s. That will usually give you the middle of the road, not top of the line, really, really super expensive, not bottom tier, which is really super cheap, but just kind of in the middle. It gives you the best performance of both sides of the fence.
Well, and that's not all, because sometimes those lower end cards are handicapped. And we've talked about this specifically when we've talked about video cards.
Yeah.
So in general, the 60 Ti maybe, or the 70 seem to be about right. And I've been a 70 fan for now four generations. Is that right? Wow. Maybe even further since the 1070 for sure. And the nice bonus of that is you can get a video card like the 1070, and then when the prices come down, or you can afford a used one, you just add a second one, because that is, or was at least, the lowest level that you could do SLI.
Yeah, with the 1070s, you had the, what was it, the water-cooled one from MSI.
The Seahawk.
mm-hmm. the Seahawk. So you bought one 1070 that was regular air-cooled. We bought a water block for that
one. Yeah, the Gamer X, I think, is what that was.
Yeah, and then at that point, the prices came down. You could get the Seahawk. We added a second one, mm-hmm. water-cooled it into your entire build. It looked amazing, by the way.
And it performed amazing.
Yeah, and for the games you were trying to play, mm-hmm. obviously. And then we upgraded to the 2070.
Yeah, we did the 2070 Super, and the jump there was really based around, like we talked about, new technologies, right?
I wanted to get
ray tracing. Mm-hmm. Wanted to get what's now the first generation of DLSS.
Yeah.
And because some of the games we're using, in particular, as everybody I think is aware, if you're not by now, that I'm a huge Battlefield player. Mm-hmm. And Battlefield, the latest Battlefield has its issues, but it has always driven technology and adapted those latest versions of DLSS, mm-hmm. for example. So ray tracing especially. And I like my game to be pretty, so I didn't want to miss out.
Well, yeah. And while you are a competitive gamer, as you said, you like it pretty, so you don't necessarily remove the graphics. And that's one nice thing about the DLSS is that you get better performance, mm-hmm. and better visual quality just because of its AI engine that runs in the background.
And you can go back and do the research. It's not as important now, but that was where really DirectX 12 started to come in, is at the mm-hmm. 2070.
Yep.
Now, we talk about budget again. If you can afford it, you should always get the better version of that generation of card, which is why I ended up buying the Super. And you should always buy the tie if you can. And of course, that's a timing issue.
Yeah, that is timing, especially with the Super. Even the Super is the second generation of the 2070. So it was late generation. Right. But during that time, we also had the crypto crunch, which was everybody was buying up as many cars as possible. Mm-hmm. You couldn't buy the 30s because they were, basically pre-allotted for these crypto miners that were really animate about buying as many cars as possible because their mining efforts paid for them.
So we don't have to rehash history to talk about how much overpaid I did on the 2070 Super Saturn.
Yeah, that's terrible, terrible.
So anyway, there's the history. Mm-hmm. So looking now at the market and saying I'm two generations behind, Dennis.
Yeah, we need to get the 40 series.
It's time for a 40 series. Now, all of the news and rumors say, well, okay, these are not going to be big price crunchy cards. Mm-mm. But the cards are kind of difficult to get still. And right now, what's out?
Well, currently, the only thing that's out is the 4090. Because one podcast before this one, as it was being recorded, mm-hmm. the 4090 had released. They had rumored that the 4080 was going to be coming at the same time. But there was a little bit of hoopla that happened during that time. And the 4090s, being that they are the top dog, the unicorn of that GPU generation, at least
maybe.
Yeah. They are in limited supply. So it is really difficult to get one unless you are an editor at the top tier or one of those people that, has their finger on the pulse and the pulse is connected to a guy who connects himself to the supply chain and is able to get you one off of the truck. You probably are hard-pressed to find one.
Well, the great news is that it's pretty easy to get yourself on a wait list, and they're pumping them out, mm-hmm. so you just have to be patient. And added to that great news is that at least for now, there's not a lot of price gouging.
No, not so much, because the only people that are after these cards are the people that they're intended for, aka gamers, people mm-hmm. that are hardware enthusiasts, the people that want to make sure their machines have the best performance possible.
All right, so if you've been with us so far, 4090X, the 4090 Ti? It's not the Ti, right?
It's not the Ti yet. We have the RTX 4090.
Is the top dog at the moment, and they've already said they're not going to put out a Titan, which, time will tell.
In 6 months or a year, we'll see that.
But the reality is that one of the big concerns that a lot of folks have had about buying a 40X card was the new power supply requirements, the new power feed requirements, if you will. And they have a different connector.
Yeah.
And a lot of folks were concerned that they'd have to buy a new power supply.
And technically they will, because the new power supply, this new connector that comes on these video cards, is a quote unquote standard. So that is going to be coming on, ATX 4.0 or mm-hmm. I forget the actual number. I'll put it down in the show notes because I don't want to stop and look this up right now. But there's going to be a new connector.
A new connector.
Specific for video cards, because As we know, with the current generation of video cards and power supplies, there are a plethora of PCI Express power connectors on them. And that was primarily so that we could support SLI for up to four ways. So we would need to have two power connectors for each card, and we'd have four cards. So, you know, we do the math, that's eight.
Yeah. Now, not very many people are building those because, let's face it, SLI is not currently a trend unless you have really a really open pocketbook.
Well, and it's the NVMe link now. And really, SLI in itself is kind of dead. NVIDIA killed it to the point where it's not a thing so much anymore. Motherboard manufacturers aren't supplying designs that support more than two cards. And toward the end of it, when NVIDIA really limited SLI to the upper end of the performance tiers, it really made the principle of SLI kind of pointless, because back in the day when they introduced it, it's like, well, you buy one low-end 60 series graphics card, and then in a couple of months when you have some money, you add a second one.
Great.
Yeah. And if you were able to get the 70 series or the 80 series, you might be able to do four of them and get amazing performance out of it.
Yeah, and build on it. But to be honest, not a lot of people took advantage of that. I mean, two cards, yeah, maybe. But by the time you spend the money on two cards, you're really pretty close to a new card.
Well, or a new build. I mean, because technology has been changing a lot. And I had, what was it? I had the, I don't know, the 7000 series back in the day. And I had an SLI system, but I did not game on it. And it turns out one of the cards went bad and I ended up having to remove it. But then again, it's like I never used that system. And then when I built the new one with the 9000 or 900 series cards or something like that, single card, that's all I needed. I didn't need anything more than that because the CPU was fast enough that it supplied enough data to the GPU that there wasn't any lag.
I miss SLI. But yeah. I think we digress because I want a 40X card, Dennis.
And a 40X card you shall have. Unfortunately, we have some news in the world that, you know, there's melting power connectors or something.
So I got to be honest, I feel like this is the side effect of them saying you don't need a new power supply, and that was a lie.
Yeah, pretty much.
So why wouldn't I get a new power supply so I don't have... What is that? Overheating, melting video cards?
Right. So I have next to us, and of course, this is radio, so you'll have to use your imagine brain eyeballs.
Da, da, da.
I got a 3080 Ti here next to us. So, I'm pointing at the box right now.
So last generation, top dog, or pretty dang close?
This was a Founders Edition video card, and in the box, we have this dongle.
Okay.
And the dongle, I'm showing it to Darren right now. It has on one end of it, two PCI Express 4-pin connectors. So there's a total of 8 pins here.
So these little doodads are what I'm used to seeing. I'll be honest, I didn't buy, as you have already heard, a 3080 Ti.
Yeah.
So I haven't seen one of these before. But what we got is, all right, two of the standard, I would call these 8 pins because they got 8s.
Yeah, they're 8 pins.
Right. And they convert into this little wonky tiny, what is that? 12?
Yeah, 12 pins.
12 pin.
So on the Founders Edition cards, the 3070 and the 3080s, they have this little tiny power connector. It's really, really small.
Yeah.
And to make this work, they included a dongle so that you would plug in two of your PCI Express power connectors to power your graphics card. And this particular plug is what they use on the RTX 4090. I think they add an extra couple of pins.
Okay, so it's basically the same idea. So we're bringing in 2 to 4 of what we would call the standard 8 pins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so to supply enough power to your graphics card, you need to plug in two of these guys. And that narrows down to these 12 pins that go into the graphics card. And the idea is that the connector is really small. It doesn't take up a lot of space. You know, if we pull out a Kingpin Edition card, it has 3 of these PCI Express with the 8 pins on it, 3 of those little plugs on there. And that is what you are required to supply to run that graphics card. Well, with the RTX 4090, this little Medusa cable,
nice,
It has four of these 8-pin connectors on it.
Going into a single, whatever it is, 12-pin or...
Yeah, I think it's a 12-pin connector.
Yeah, 12-pin connector. That's a lot.
That's a lot. So if we know anything about electricity and a resistance and the Ohm's law and, you know, being able to get power from point A to point B most efficiently, we need big wires if they go over a large distance.
Well, yeah, I think that's just standard. I mean, it's not any different than water, right? Every time you restrict it, mm-hmm. right, you're going to have really a problem with resistance.
And the whole reason that like kingpin cards have three of these connectors on it is because we need to have a fair amount, or in this case, a lot of power available to handle the overclocking ability of that particular GPU.
Okay. So now, 4 times 8 turned into 1 times 12. I just want to make sure that I'm really clear on that.
Yeah. So we have a lot of power going into a very, very small connector. Truth be told, once you get to the video card, all this power has to go over the PCB, the, you know, these power planes, and they're very thin copper traces that are on the PCB themselves. So in theory, these small little connectors should be fine. But if we are taking 4 8-pin connectors to power one particular graphics card, you know, logic kind of tells you that's a lot of power being narrowed down to a very small choke point.
It's science, Dennis. It's science.
It's science. And, well, unfortunately, as people have started to going to Reddit and, you know, if you have a problem, go to the internet and complain, right?
Sure.
Well, they're claiming that the pins on the outside of this connector are melting and can cause, you know, in theory, cause a fire. But really, they're just melting. They're getting too hot.
Well, that's a lot of juice going through there. So I'm a little surprised because to me, this seems like a design decision that was not good. Why yep. wouldn't we just do larger pins?
Yeah, we should do larger pins. Well, and of course, the NVIDIA design was that, well, we need a small connector. This is a standard. This is a connector that's going to be coming on the new generation of power supply. So you should have one of these instead of 8 of these 8-pin other connectors, which arguably are probably better.
Okay. So hold on, because I think I just heard you tell me that I might need a new power supply.
Yeah, you're going to need a new power supply.
Well, at least this is kind of the stopgap, but at what cost, right?
Well, obviously the cost is a new power supply.
Well, you know, or burn up the card or the cable or your right. house. Or
well, and of course, there's been... Since this story broke, there has been a lot of research done by various websites around there. Makes Igor's sense. Lab was the one that I like to refer to because he seems to do probably some of the most in-depth and relatable research out of some of the sites and channels out there.
Sure, we'll link you guys.
And what he claims is that, well, it's really just a design problem. So you have all these big, thick wires going into a small... you know, very thin metal bracket that goes into this connector. And the fact that they are very thin wires, if you bend the wires a lot and move them around or try to route them in your computer, you know, you want to have really tight bends.
Sure, make, especially with a good Windows case, nice and, clean build.
And especially since you have 4 of these cables that you have to hide, that's a lot of wires to kind of route around, right? That's a lot of bending you got to do. Well, what that does is puts undue stress on the thin copper that's inside the connector itself right. and causes it to break. And once you thin out that wire, that is when a lot of resistance is introduced and a lot of heat, and it just causes problems.
All right, well, that's interesting. I know that a couple of the different video card companies have, I guess, custom plugs, right? EVGA had one for a while, and mm-hmm. I know a couple of others do. What about those as a solution?
Well, and fortunately, like for instance, the EVGA one, that was, and I'll link it down below, that was a review that I did. And what the EVGA plug did is it moved the 2 8-pin power connectors at the very top of the video card, and it created a, I don't know, it was like a way to redirect the power connector down lower on the graphics card.
Oh, so primarily for aesthetic reasons, right?
Yeah. But if you open up that device, inside it, it was basically taking the 4 12-volt connectors and the 4 ground connectors and pushing those into a single copper trace that would go up to the very top, and then it would spider out into the individual connections to go into the graphics card itself.
Okay.
And that's how it supported graphics cards that had dual 8 pins or like a single 8 and a single 6 pin. So you could reconnect those connectors so that it would actually, you know, interface with the graphics card you wanted and still reroute the connection of your cable somewhere else. And since it's really just 12 volt and ground, all they needed was a single connection all the way up. It was a single rail.
Okay, so I think, I'm not an electrician, of course, but I think I'm getting that we're taking 32 in to 12 out. And what you're really telling me is that we could simplify this to two in?
Yeah, two wires.
Two wires.
We could simplify this to two large gauge wires from your power supply directly to your video card. We don't need to have all these, you know, these 12 little itty bitty tiny pins at all.
Wow.
All we need to do is supply two wires to your graphics card, and it could spider out once it gets on the graphics card itself. But at that point, it's just, all we need is 12 volt and ground. That's
Nvidia,
all we need.
Are you listening? Because that seems so simple. Do a bigger wire or do an interesting plug adapter maybe, and then we don't need a new power supply maybe.
Yeah, well, and that's one thing that I always wondered about cable mod, for instance, right? We mm-hmm. talked about cable mod yeah. and how they create these custom cable kits for various PCs. And I'll link a video down below where we installed a custom kit into Darren's computer. Instead of having these individual wires going from your power supply as either from the power supply itself or as an extension, maybe we just change it to a single or two wires going through. It's much less cabling. It will have to be a much larger cable, less resistance, less heat, less trouble. It might be a little bit more difficult to move around because it'll be a bit thicker and harder to route, but it is much less to deal with.
All right, so let's bottom line it. You've got a 40X on order. You don't want to buy a new power supply because you already got a really great power supply, so you get one of these wonky dongles.
Yeah, and the dongle comes with the graphics card, by the way.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
Okay. How do you keep this thing from lighting your video card on fire, Dennis?
Well, the general consensus is the reason why it failed is because there was a design malfunction with the company I was making them. So there was a problem with the way that the plug was being designed. Cheap products, basically.
Sure, saved money somewhere they shouldn't have.
Yeah. If you don't move it around too much, you know, bend it once, basically. That's kind of the goal. Then, you know, and don't bend it next to the connector. Bend it somewhere next to the wire.
Sure.
That will preserve the connection so that it shouldn't burn up.
So a little comfort, a little care, and you're good to go.
Yeah, and that's kind of, in a way, that's kind of common sense. I mean, you know, you got your USB-C cable that you go and charge your phone with, right? Mm-hmm. Well, you plug it in, you unplug it. Yeah. And
How often do we replace those things? Let me tell you.
Right. And mm-hmm. the whole reason that they break is because the wires next to the connector tend to wear out because you're moving it around too much. Well, if you take some care and make sure that you don't bend it next to the plug, it should last literally forever for the life of the phone itself. You really just need to exercise some care and understand that, you know, there are little itty bitty tiny copper wires inside this piece, and that's what makes it flexible. If you bend it in the right spot, it's not going to be fatigued as much as if you bend it near the ends.
All right. Okay. I think you've won me over. That's a good hot tip. So just explore a little caution in your install. All right, back to buying that 40X card. So 4090 is kind of hard to get,
uh-huh.
kind of expensive. If I wanted to go two generations, like we already talked about,
yeah.
what I'm really looking at is probably a 4070 or a 4080.
Oh, yes. 4080 is the current one that you supposedly should be able to pre-order, if not buy, by the time this podcast comes out.
And eventually there'll be 47s, 60s, 50s, who knows what, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you wanted one this year, right?
Yeah.
You're looking at probably the 90, which is expensive still,
mm-hmm.
or the 80. But Dennis, there's a lot of weirdness in what's going on with the 4080s right now. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this because I know there's a dramatic piece of change right now. But I know that they announced two 4080s, a 12 gigabyte model And the other one was, I want to say a 16 gig. Is that right?
I believe that is correct. And it is something that we talked about in the last episode because there was an article published about how the, what was it? The 12 gigabyte version was really a worthless piece of crap.
Right. And we wondered about that and price points. And now we have some official announced price points. And I'll give you an example. The 4080 12 gigabyte, which we thought was probably the sweet spot when we last talked about these, at $899 still looks pretty attractive. But now I'm seeing that NVIDIA has unlaunched that card. Yes. What does that even mean?
They pulled it. And when we were talking about in the previous episode, we had looked at, what was it, 3070s, 3080s, but we had to be careful to make sure that we got the memory denotation correct because two different memory versions available. And I want to say that the fact that people couldn't buy the 30 series cards, they didn't really care so much.
Sure.
But now that the 40s are out, we have these two different editions and people started looking at the specs. So we have the 12 gigabyte version that only had 128 bit memory bus.
Right. And to be fair, there are actual benchmarks out there now. It's not complete vapor.
Right. It's not. And what we had was basically the 4080 silicon that was being choked by the lack of bandwidth from the memory controller. And as we mentioned in the previous episode, this is what NVIDIA does to go and segment a product. So we have certain performance tiers and we have tier one, tier two, tier three. And at that some point we need to determine that a graphics card cannot outperform another one. So what's the easiest way to do it? We either remove cores from the GPU itself, which is where we get 3070, 4070, 4080, 4090.
Right.
Or we reduce the memory bandwidth. And what editors and some of the enthusiasts were complaining about was the fact that we have a 4080 that is being choked out by the memory that's being put on the card. And it's really better suited to being a more open sort of situation.
So super handicapped, which generally means reduced price.
Exactly.
But it doesn't in this case. Well, at least it didn't.
So NVIDIA removed the 12 gigabit version from the market. They're not going to launch it, which is fine. They can do that. But the rumor is that they will relaunch it as the 4070 with that 12 gigabit memory buffer and that same 128-bit memory bus. But now we have a GPU that is better matched with the memory bandwidth that's available. So it's going to be a more cohesive gaming experience.
Well, the bad news, of course, is that if they do re-release this as a 4070, which makes so much sense because, you know, they got to have like, you know, truckloads of these things that they suddenly.
Exactly.
Oh, quick, put a different sticker on that thing. Mm-hmm. Right. But that also leads us to an interesting position where at a lower price point, you're probably more likely to accept those handicaps. Right. Now I got to ask myself, do I wait for a 4070 knowing that it maybe was a 48 12 gig?
Yeah.
Or do you spend a little extra money to get the 4080 that isn't as handicapped?
Oh, that's a good question. And maybe I would propose another question.
Okay.
Maybe NVIDIA goes the AMD route and then just re-releases it, calls it a 4070, but with that crazy little BIOS update or maybe a tweak to the PCB, you unlock it.
Ooh, it's been a while since we've been able, well, even unofficially, unlock some extra power, which would make that a very attractive card at the price. Sadly, we won't know until probably close to Christmas or maybe early next year what's really happening with the 4080s and the 4070s. But the 4080s are going to be out by Christmas. Everybody's pretty confident. And you're going to pay probably around $1,000, $1,100. But if you wait, you might see what used to be a 4080 12 gig for 4070 price, which we estimate would be probably somewhere in the $700 range. My question to you to finish this off is, do you wait for that 4070 or not?
I would say if you have the money, buy whatever you can get.
Well, that's always the case, guys. We'll check back when we have a better idea of where we're going with the new build. Thanks for listening.
For more information on the topics discussed in this podcast, please consult our show notes on hardwareoutsound.com Stay up to date on the latest at Hardwire Asylum by subscribing to our RSS and follow us on Twitter. This has been a Ninja Lane production, copyright 2022. Thanks for listening.